Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today's Thursday, March 4th, 2021, and my name is Robert. So as always, there's a thousand things that we can talk about today, so I think what I'm going to do is just bounce around a little bit, a couple of different stories out there that caught my eye, or I feel like the world just has to hear my opinion on, you know. So going to be a mixed bag show going into the weekend, not really a long one. I'm not going to be around tomorrow for sure, so I think Saturday I'm going to try to pick one topic and really explore it, do something of a longer show, maybe something closer to an hour, but today it's going to be a little bit abbreviated compared to normal. Now, the first story I want to talk about, on the surface, it doesn't seem like too much. You know, it was kind of an expected thing. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. It's one of those things you read the headline, you just kind of go right by it, and you're like, eh, big deal. Same old, same old. But then I thought about it for a minute, and I think it's worth mentioning. Here's the story. I'm going to take it from Gateway Pundit. Here's the headline. YouTube deletes all copies of President Trump's CPAC speech, suspends RSBN for 2 weeks. YouTube has deleted all copies of President Trump's speech to CPAC given last Sunday in Orlando and has suspended the account of Right Side Broadcasting Network for 2 weeks as apparent punishment for live streaming the speech in which Trump reiterated his belief that 2020 presidential election was stolen from him. All right, so right there you think, okay, there's the reason. Talked about the election fraud. Obvious, right? That's against YouTube policy because apparently that's disinformation, that's harmful to the country, and, you know, I'm not sure why YouTube gets to decide such things, but whatever. The article goes on to talk about all the different outlets that had it banned, all the view counts. Trump's speech was watched by over 30 million people, apparently, compared to around 6 million for the Golden Globes. In any case, you're to believe that the reason that the videos were taken down was because of the mention of election fraud, and for no other reason, just a policy violation. Fair enough premise. I'm sure that's the excuse, but I don't think that's what's really going on here, because this type of censorship across conservative platforms has been going on well before the CPAC speech. It's happened to people who don't mention the stolen election. It's happened to people who haven't laughed at the notion of Joe Biden receiving 81 million votes. 40, 45 maybe. 81, please. Now, the censorship is happening to people simply for supporting Trump, not buying into cancel culture, not buying into the new narratives of race and gender and sexuality and everything else that they're doing. They can be banned for talking about guns. I mean, the reasons, they vary. It doesn't really matter. But the more pro-Trump you are, the better chance you have of being banned. Now, there's a little side note to that as well, a little asterisk. If you're already huge and you're popular and you're famous, and banning you is going to raise a huge stink, make the news, you know, the mainstream news, they're reluctant to do so. They're really not going to ban you just for being a Trump supporter, talking about the election and everything else. But if you're a little guy just starting out, or you're not that big, what do they have to lose, right? They can get rid of you. Nobody's going to raise a fuss. They get rid of, you know, your audience from listening to you, and they stop you from growing. So that's what they're doing. Well, I'm not believing that the election fraud issue as the real root cause of this. It's the convenient excuse. I know they don't want anybody talking about fraud anymore and everything else, but I'm looking at it more that they need to silence Trump completely, erase him from history, erase your support of him from history, and they have to do it quick because it's spreading. Despite everything that they try to do, despite all their best efforts, it's slipping for them. In short, they're doing all of this because Trump's actual win was so astronomically big. When the deep state saw the actual numbers, the actual election night numbers, their jaws dropped. That's why all of this is happening. This is why they actually had to call a halt to the election counting and start bringing in all these ballots in key areas. They were so far behind, they actually needed more time to cheat, and they had to call a lid on the election, to borrow a phrase from Team Biden. And if we circled back and counted only legal votes, I'm estimating again, Trump got a minimum, bare minimum of 90 million. Remember, 74 is what the Dems agreed to. That's what they're allowing us to say out loud, and they're not even going to fight it. Yeah, okay, Trump got 74. Okay, well, if you're saying we got 74, what did we actually get? That's what they'll give us, you know, and say actually happened. So all you have to believe then is that Joe Biden is the most popular man in America, and he got 20 million more votes than Barack Obama. That's simple, right? The bigger the lie, the bigger the cover-up has to be. Think about this. If the country were actually very evenly divided, if Trump and Biden were within a couple of points of each other, and that's how the country was going during the last election, all they had to do was tweak a few numbers, maybe go into Philadelphia, you know, overcount there, maybe do the same in Detroit, a little bit in Milwaukee, just enough to push him just over a little bit. There isn't such a big deal for them, right? But they're freaking out. They're trying to cover their tracks like crazy. Liberal Antifa people who stormed the Capitol, the FBI is trying to say that that didn't happen. When we have it on video, millions of people watched it. Ballots are being shredded. Machines are taken away so they can't be audited. People at the Capitol are being called domestic terrorists. Everybody's losing their Twitter accounts and their Facebook accounts and everything else. It goes on and on and on and on. Again, the bigger the lie, the bigger and more desperate the cover-up has to be. I mean, people have died over cover-ups, right? That's nothing new. People are involved in something, and the people at the very top, they get rid of the people below because the more people that know, the more people that were in on it, the more dangerous it is, right? So that's how dangerous cover-ups can be and how crazy cover-ups can be. So we're looking at a cover-up now that's so ridiculous and unbelievable that they're trying to sell to the American people, and we're not buying it. What's freaking out the left this badly isn't that this information is dangerous, right? Dangerous for the country. It's that they know what the truth is, and they know that Trump was going to come right out there, right on that stage, and talk about what a train wreck Biden is, how bad his policies are. Compare that to his performance and speak the truth. Those numbers astonished the liberals in the deep state, believe me. Has them quaking in their boots. Despite all of the efforts of impeachment, the media, the scandals that they tried to get going, the accusations, the lies, everything, the Russia nonsense, taxes, all of it. Trump made huge gains across the board. He made huge gains into the black community. They did not expect that. They didn't plan for it. Despite being called a racist and being called anti-Hispanic, he gained Hispanic vote. He gained across the board. He brought in more Republicans, more independents, more Democrats, more people around the country who just consider themselves Americans, more people who never voted before. All these people that were supposed to hate him, that the media said hated him, he gained and brought them in. And you cannot have him come back on that stage and remind all of those people why they voted for him in record numbers. They have to keep the lie going as long as they possibly can. So while banning his CPAC speech might seem like the expected thing to do because of the policy violation, there's more to it than that. Joe Biden is failing. They know it. They know that they're forcing policies on a public that didn't vote for him, didn't want any of this nonsense from them, and they have to silence us all. The whole BS narrative about how this information is harmful. We can't talk about election integrity or fraud or corruption, but communists are free to talk about communism, anti-Americanism, anti-capitalism, and talk about promoting communism in the USA, and that isn't harmful to our country. You can have a channel dedicated to communism and dedicated to bringing down America, but that speech isn't harmful to America. But trying to point out problems in our election system, or showing how election integrity is gone or is in deep trouble, that is a direct threat to democracy. Pointing out that our free and fair elections have massive issues and massive problems, that's a problem. We can't talk about that. It's not at all that the information being spread is wrong, dishonest, or bad for the country. It's that it's bad for them. And it's bad for them because it's all the God's honest truth. Now, speaking about the God's honest truth, they aren't being truthful again with this whole Joe Biden is failing mentally narrative again. Look, the entire time that the election campaign was going on, the right, all of us conservatives, we kept talking about and pointing out all of the signs that Biden was in trouble mentally, right? We kept pointing out when he would lose his train of thought, he would go up there and speak gibberish, not make any sense, call it quits for the day at 10 o'clock in the morning. Even in the debates, people were saying he might be drugged up. Trump even wanted urine tests for both of them. People said that they saw him wearing a wire, you know, talking into his shirt sleeve and all that. It was clear that Biden was not the old Biden, that he was in a state of decline and he needed help, and there was only so much per day that you could ask from him, right? But now, all of a sudden, it's all over the news. 4 months. We are 4 months only after the election, if you can believe it. And everyone now wants you to believe that all of a sudden Biden is failing. Please, this is all planned and coordinated. Let's look at the recent news about Biden here. Let's start with the most recent because that's what everybody's talking about. Does this little live event. I'll take this from Gateway Pundit again. Joe Biden on Wednesday held a virtual event with the House Democratic Caucus. Speaker Pelosi and other Democratic leaders discussed their agenda over the next 2 years. After the event was over, Joe Biden told Speaker Nancy Pelosi he was happy to take questions, but the White House cut the feed. "I'm happy to take questions if that's what I'm supposed to do," Biden said off script. He actually said, "if that's what I'm supposed to do," and I think he looked over at Pelosi, I guess, and said, "Nance." They cut the feed of the president immediately. Now, who did that exactly? Who's making that decision? Can you imagine the panic? They have this guy who can't even get through scripted comments on a teleprompter without going off the rails, and he decides to say, "I'd be happy to take questions." Some guy in the back just diving for the cutoff button. This is scary stuff. Imagine them doing that to somebody like Trump. Imagine being at an event and you don't even know what you're doing, what you're talking about, what's going on, what the protocol is. It's not just us noticing anymore. Democrats all over Twitter are asking what the hell is going on. And on top of this, Biden hasn't given a State of the Union or even a large public press conference since frauding his way into office. Now, according to the Constitution, if I'm not wrong, a president is supposed to give a State of the Union in January or February, no later. Well, we're in March, last I checked. This hasn't happened since the 70s. Where's our State of the Union, Joe? Why no big press conferences? Two reasons. What's he going to do? What is he going to do? Is he going to go up there and talk about his record? Is he going to talk about his record number of executive orders, all of which have hurt the American public? Is he going to go and talk about how on one hand he's pushing the dark winter and the pandemic and how dangerous it is, and yet on the other hand he's letting in thousands of COVID-positive illegals into the country? Right? What's he going to say about that? What's he going to say about the kids in cages? Is he going to talk about the money that he's already slated for the Ukraine? Is he going to talk about how they just pushed the back-to-normal narrative to a full year from now again? After what, telling us we're going to get through the dark winter and then in spring and summer it's going to go back to normal, right? Well, now it's past summer, into the fall, past winter, and almost into next spring again. Or maybe he would like to talk about why he can't get those checks out to help the American people. But of course, the real reason he hasn't done it is because he can't. He's not physically or mentally capable, and if he does, it's going to be some pre-recorded nonsense that they edit together later. Imagine the damage a live State of the Union would be to Biden and the Democrat Party right now. Imagine the field day that Trump and the Republicans would have after that. Now, they're not going to do this. And if they do, like I said, it's going to be something totally different. They're going to make up some excuse because eventually they're going to have to do something, right? Think about the length of a State of the Union address. You really think that Joe Biden can get up there and not make a complete ass of himself? They're going to use COVID as an excuse. They're going to say we can't assemble Congress all in a big room like that. It's too dangerous. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Biden give up and just give his speech to a couple of Democrats. And then we'll play that message. And that's what's going to go out all edited and spliced together, right? Now, at the same time that you have all this going on, you've got a bipartisan bill trying to limit Biden's war powers. Why Biden? Why now? This is from the New York Post. A bipartisan bill introduced Wednesday would repeal the 2002 Iraq War authorization in the wake of President Biden's decision to bomb facilities in Syria that were allegedly used by an Iran-backed militia. The largely symbolic bill was introduced by four Senate Democrats and four Senate Republicans, led by Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia. Last week's airstrikes in Syria show that the executive branch, regardless of party, will continue to stretch its war powers, Kaine said in a press release. Now, in fairness, the president isn't supposed to be doing military actions without congressional approval, but isn't it odd that they're seeking to stop Biden from making these decisions all of a sudden? 40 days into his presidency, Trump did a military action against Syria. Other presidents have. I mean, that's all Obama did through his presidency was bomb people with drones and everything, right? They didn't try to take his powers away. Now, all of a sudden, it's Joe. More important than that, the fact that dozens of Democrats are trying to take away Joe Biden's his sole responsibility to authorize a nuclear strike. Again, why now? Why Joe? It's a quote from an article. Vesting one person with this authority entails real risks, the letter from Rep. Jimmy Panetta, Democrat of California, and obtained by Politico reads. Yeah, it's from Politico, sorry. Past presidents have threatened to attack other countries with nuclear weapons or exhibited behavior that caused other officials to express concern about the president's judgment. Here's the point of all this. None of this is surprising. None of what Joe Biden is saying or doing is surprising. There hasn't been a massive tailspin in his behavior or his actions or anything else in the last 4 months since he's taken, since the election. Okay? So anybody acting like they're shocked at what, how Joe is being, how he's behaving, they're lying. This was all predicted. Trump predicted it. When Nancy was pretending that they were going to use the 25th Amendment to try to remove Trump, that's not who it was for. And remember Trump saying that he was, the 25th Amendment had nothing to do with him. He was completely immune from it, but that it was going to come back and haunt Joe Biden. Well, here we are. Nancy and the top Democrats never had a concern about the election against the most popular Republican president ever because she knew the fix was in across the board. The media, the courts, everybody. The Republican Party. She knew the fix was in. And she knew that they're going to have to remove Joe eventually. That's why she went with this whole 25th Amendment law. Now, we're already seeing the signs that it's coming. Even Biden knew, if you really want to talk about it, talking about the Harris administration, talking about how he might get a disease and have to step down. You know, all of this nonsense, the sudden shock of the press questioning his mental fitness, like, oh my gosh, boy, maybe Joe Biden isn't all there. Like they didn't see it for the last several months or the last year, right? All of this is planned out, it's predicted, it's known about, and part of another Democrat scheme. Don't fall for the feigned surprise, the sudden questioning by the Democrats. Oh, what's going on here with Joe? They probably have this all planned out almost to the day already. What the end goal is, President Kamala or Pelosi or whatever they've got cooked up, this was cooked up before the past couple of weeks when suddenly, all of a sudden, Joe's in the news for being a confused and doddering old fool. All right, so we've got to be really careful here. Because this is not something that's just happening organically. This isn't the Democrats thinking that Joe is going to last 4 years. And then they get him into office and all of a sudden Joe is in a tailspin. No. Okay, they knew all this was happening and they've got a plan for it. When the Democrats plan for something, America is going to suffer. So whatever the hell is going on in the background, we need to be prepared for something bad here. Couple more small things I want to mention. I'll have a longer show for you on Saturday. Like I said, I'm going to go into broader detail of some things, but I want to mention some of the Republican pushback on Fauci and COVID. We all heard Texas come out and say that they're opening up 100%. All businesses are going to be allowed to fully open. No mask mandates. Great move by Governor Abbott. Back to how it should be, where if you are sick, stay home. If you are nervous about COVID, wear a mask if you want to. Avoid others. Make decisions to protect yourself without imposing it on a bunch of people who aren't sick and choose to live their lives. Mississippi followed suit. We have a handful of Republican states now, Florida too. Things are largely back to normal, you know, back to life as usual. Now, with Texas going back to normal, that's going to have a noticeable impact on the national economy because it's so large and a state that produces so much in the way of economic activity. The national economy, job numbers, all of it is going to see an uptick thanks to this. And I'm sure that the Democrats are going to be happy to take credit for the improving numbers, even though they're screaming bloody murder about this. Biden's reaction of unity and one America and how we all have to come together and everything else was to call their decision to let people open up their businesses and make money, feed their families, and do what's best for them. He called that Neanderthal thinking, and he said it was a bad decision. Fauci, who said that we don't ever need to wear a mask, then only the sick need to wear a mask, then we all need a mask, then we're going to always need a mask, then we need to get vaccinated, then we won't need a mask, then we need two masks, then back to one mask, then now that we are vaccinated, we still need a mask, to now maybe a year from now, we can start to see a little bit of normal. Well, this guy, he just can't imagine what could possibly inspire Texas and Mississippi to make such a catastrophic decision. Fauci, the highest paid government official making around $500,000 a year, he just can't understand why you might want to go back to work. He can't understand why you might want to open up your business again. It's baffling, isn't it? Baffling. Why would you want to go back to work? You don't think Fauci might be just a little bit out of touch or anything, do you? I wonder if Fauci would want to get back to work if we wiped out all of his savings and then took away his income. You think he might get it then? You think he might understand? See, the problem here is they're still trying for the Great Reset. And if Texas opens up and Florida is open and more of these Republican states pile on and open up, and if they're doing just fine, the entire rest of the country is going to look to them and say, what the hell are we doing here? Why can't I open up my store when everybody in Texas is running around free and all of their stores are open and everybody is fine? And if they open up too, the country is going to do just fine. Despite all the Democrat efforts to destroy it, it's going to be fine. And that's not going to be good for the narrative that we need a reset. Now, the big irony about, you know, Biden and Fauci losing their minds over the red states and COVID, I mentioned this before. Biden is letting in all of these COVID-positive illegals into the country. They are literally coming into Texas, getting on buses, and going all around the country. Are any Democrats pointing out the hypocrisy? No, they're not. Are any Democrats angered? No. You know what they're too busy doing? They're too busy assaulting people in Trader Joe's and Whole Foods who show up without a mask. Have you seen those videos? Trader Joe's employees refusing to ring up. These patrons went in without a mask, and the Trader Joe's employees refused to ring up their items, and then they're blocking the exit as they tried to leave. They left money on the counter, said, here's the money for our stuff. They only had a couple of things. They didn't go, it wasn't like a shopping cart full of stuff. They had like two things. Leave a bunch of money on the counter, and they wouldn't let them leave the store, and they're calling the cops on them because they didn't have a mask, okay? Do these same people have an issue with this? Do they have an issue with busloads of illegals going around the country? Or do you think maybe they haven't even heard about it? just sitting there watching CNN at night eating tofu. All right, short show for today. I'll see what develops tomorrow in the way of news, but I have a show in mind for the weekend where I talk about some of the culture of hurt feelings and oppression and everything else that's fueling this cancel culture and the Democrat Party in general, and show examples of pushback, little signs that that's starting to get a crack in the foundation, and it's starting to become that we're starting to become the counterculture. All right, if you like the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. If you know people who would enjoy it, share it with them as well. And I will talk to you guys again, hopefully on Saturday, worst case on Sunday. Take care.